Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. I'd love to know, why did you become a teacher? What's your background and what made you take this route?
Well, I think becoming a teacher was something like an idea that I always had. Like it was something that I always thought about doing, even when I was at school and when I was at university. But I wanted to become a teacher mainly because I really got into languages. I started to become very passionate about languages, especially when I was around 18 to 21 years old. I started meeting people from different countries, had some friends from Spain, from Poland. And I found learning languages from them and learning languages from a native speaker really great fun. Learning something and then being able to practice it with the people, which is different to what I had at school, where I had a lovely English lady teach me French, but it wasn't quite the same experience. So I think this is where I really got into languages. And from there, I got into the idea of wanting to travel. And I realized that I could travel the world and I could teach English. So I finished university and I've been doing that ever since. I think I've lived in five different countries maybe now, traveling, teaching English and learning languages as well.
Amazing. How many languages do you speak?
I speak four languages, technically. I speak English, Spanish and Italian well. I also used to speak Portuguese when I lived in Portugal well, but I don't find that many people to practice Portuguese with living outside of Portugal, especially in Europe. So I never get to practice it. So I've kind of forgotten it, but I think if I started using it, I would regain it. I'd regain my confidence. It's somewhere in my head.
Sure, I understand. Okay, interesting. Obviously, a lot of your posts are from different locations. It feels like whenever you're traveling, you're outside somewhere, some interesting location. So what inspires you to help students on social media, and especially in that unique way?
I think the reason that I love teaching English on social media is because I can reach such a large audience and I can reach learners of English from around the world, which is something that I really enjoy, and I really enjoy the feedback I get from it. You create a community with your Instagram account, and it's the messages in the community. Even though sometimes I don't reply to every message, I'm trying to read them and I'm trying to get an idea of what the audience want, and I really love that. And one of the reasons having this global audience, and another passion of mine is traveling. I actually studied geography at university as well. I really love traveling. I love learning about different cultures. I love trying different foods from different places. So I had this idea to create a vlog teaching English, a kind of vlog, which is a travel vlog. So it kind of goes into the travel vlog idea and the language learning vlog idea. So for about a year now, I started this about a year ago, I've been visiting different cities around Europe to begin with. I think I've been a lot in Italy, a little bit in the UK, Germany, Spain, and Turkey this year as well. I've been trying to make the videos there, teaching English in context as well. So it's not, I'm going to teach you 10 phrasal verbs in this video. It's no, we're going to walk around the city. I'm going to show you what I think is interesting. And I'm going to try and teach you some language related to this. So it's learning English in a more natural way, which I think is one of the benefits of traveling. If you haven't traveled before, it's going to help you learn English a lot, because you need English when you travel, obviously. It's a global language, and you learn a lot of things just in context. Like you go to a museum and you have to read about the things in the museum in English, obviously, and you're going to learn new vocabulary related to those things. So this is the kind of idea, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. And I hope it grows. And I have plans to travel to many different places, maybe your city, your country as well, and make videos. And also, just one thing I want to add about this is that I want these videos to be used in classrooms as well. I want teachers to use them. So my idea is that I'm going to create a website for the videos in which I will create lesson resources alongside the video. So a worksheet and lesson plan. I already had some teachers telling me they're using them in their classes. And this is something I'm quite passionate about, making videos that are not only to check out on social media, but to use as lesson resources.
Amazing. Yeah. So it's like your two dreams have come together, really, in a sense. You're teaching,
yeah,
and you're also traveling, and you're then helping other teachers, which is another, maybe a progressive dream that's come about.
Yeah, it's trying to combine everything together. Yeah, and trying to make it all add up and trying to find what I want to do with my work. It's not necessarily following what's going to get me the most followers and likes straight away. This is quite a specific audience I'm reaching. So, you know, I'm not chasing the algorithm, as, you know, we talk about when we're working on social media, following the trend. But I think in the long term, it's something that can be really rewarding for English learners and English teachers, and for myself as well. Obviously, it's expensive traveling. So I know a lot of people ask me, how do you travel and do all of that? So luckily, I have quite a lot of flexibility with my work, working on social media and working online. And also, I'm lucky enough to work with a publisher, which I travel with them to do teacher training sessions and things like that. And I try and fit in the travels with other work. That's something that I'm trying to do now. Obviously, this is all very recent post-pandemic world, so it's all very new, but so far it's been a good ride. I've had a lot of fun.
That's good news. And obviously you've got a lot of inspiration from your travels and helping people and experiencing being taught by speakers from different countries. So do you have any advice for anyone who wants to become a teacher?
Absolutely. So from my own experience, the best thing you can do when you first become a teacher is get as many new experiences as possible. I taught in a lot of different schools. I did a lot of different types of classes. I taught young learners. I taught teenagers. I taught adults. I taught business classes, conversation classes, exam classes. So try and gather as much experience as you can, because it's going to teach you all of the skills you need, and it's also going to tell you what you like to do and what you find rewarding. I don't think I've ever met a teacher who likes teaching everything. They usually have a favorite thing, so you can direct yourself in that way. And a lot of teachers, they do their initial teacher training, and then they get the experience of teaching classes, which is absolutely great. But what you can also do is take advantage of many webinars or conferences for English training. There are also other courses you can do, specific courses for teaching exam English, teaching young learners, which are really useful as well. So if you can, like, see it as, you know, you're through the door, you've started teaching, but always look to expand and improve as a teacher, because there are lots of opportunities as well in English language teaching. And there are many different things you can do. And if the more experiences and the more training and the more people you meet in this world, the more exciting your career can be.
You supply a lot of content online that give many interesting phrases, maybe phrasal verbs, and also idioms. Do you think that all of those things are important to understand? Do they affect daily conversation, and are they important to use?
It depends on the circumstances. If you are going to live in the UK, you might need to know some British slangs and British idioms. It might be useful. If you are wanting to learn business English so that you can do business with your international colleagues, maybe knowing British slang, for example, or a very British idiom or expression is not useful. But as a language learner, as a language enthusiast, I love idioms and I love phrasal verbs and expressions and slangs. I think it's what makes a language beautiful and what makes a language unique. And a lot of the time, those idioms and slang expressions are very much connected to the language's culture. So when you learn them, you're also learning about the culture of a language. But absolutely, I do think the more idioms, the more expressions you know, the better you are at expressing yourself in the language. So obviously we want to, a language is a tool to express ourselves. So the more vocabulary, the more advanced the vocabulary, the more expressions, more idioms we know, the better we can express ourselves. Maybe the person you're speaking to doesn't know the expression, the idiom, it's possible, but then you can always explain. But obviously you can always change the language you're using depending on the speaker, which is obviously a skill as well. You need to adjust your language to who you are talking to, which often I've heard some people criticize British people because they don't do this when they're speaking to an international audience, let's say. They are using their slangs, their idioms, expressions, something that natives need to learn to do as well, to adjust our language, because English is this international language, language of business. We need to learn how to adjust our language to the speaker, to the listener.
Yeah, definitely so. You picked up an interesting point there. Like you mentioned that if you're going to Britain, that it's useful learning maybe some British slang or some specific idioms that British people use. But many learners try to learn everything, you know. So do you think it's important to work out what to focus on? If like, what's your goal or what you're going to be using it for? Because that could maybe, I don't know, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, you need to define your goals, what you're learning the language for. And then you should look at learning the language to fit those goals. So if you are planning to go to the UK, absolutely include British English, British expressions, British idioms. I mean, I have a lot of content about that, but that's because there is a demand for that. People are following accounts like mine because they're really interested in British English.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, you can adjust the language you're learning, the resources you're using for your goal. If your goal is to pass a upper intermediate exam, for example, the Cambridge exams or the American version of the exam, you know, you should adjust your goals to that and use the resources that are available. There are YouTubers, there are Instagrammers that are focused on making content for that. And obviously there are books, resources, podcasts that are focused for doing that. So you can adjust the kind of resources you use. You need to use Google effectively. What are the keywords for my goal? Yeah, and find the great content. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. How about advanced vocabulary? Because there's, you know, English has a wide arrangement of words. There's like some people report that there's over a million words in English. And obviously, you know, we don't necessarily use every single one of those, but there's a lot of advanced vocabulary that people, when, you know, as a learner, as soon as we see something we don't know, we feel like I must understand what this means. It's definitely going to be super important because you don't know it, you know. So do you think it's important to learn advanced vocabulary?
Well, if you're just starting to learn English, it's not important. It's not the most important thing. You probably want to stay away from that. You want to learn the right things for the level. Absolutely. As you get into an intermediate, then more advanced, you need to find out what the vocabulary is for that. If you, like Stu has said, like if you find a word that is kind of crazy, you don't necessarily need to learn it. And it's true, I don't use every word, Stu doesn't use every word in the English language. So, but I would say, like, learning English is a process, and you've got to learn to enjoy the process. So you're going to go through periods where you're learning this vocabulary, then that vocabulary, and then more advanced vocabulary. I don't think it's a destination. I'm still learning words. Like, I think it is important to expand your vocabulary and learn advanced words, because I think I mentioned it before, the more words we know, the more advanced our vocabulary is, the better we are expressing ourselves. So that should be always the goal. But don't get overwhelmed if you don't know every word that you see. It's absolutely normal. One way, obviously, you can improve your vocabulary is by reading. And if you want to know the level, you need to know the right level of book to read for your level of English as well, which is very important.
100%. Yeah, definitely. So obviously, reading is something that many people grab those advanced words from. And I always try to explain to my students that a book has to have a variety of words in order for it to maintain the interest and to put that picture in your head. It's a very specific picture, but in terms of spoken English, it doesn't mean that we use all of those words in everyday life. So just to be aware of that kind of thing. You've obviously learned a lot of languages from being in different places. So, and there's a lot of words, like I mentioned, in English to potentially learn. So do you have any tricks, maybe not the best word, but do you have any methods that you've used that you found effective for yourself that's helped you to maintain or get to a good level with, especially with learning new vocabulary?
Yes. So my main method of learning new vocabulary is I read in the language. So obviously when I'm first beginning, I'm reading at a very low level. I might be even reading children's books. But I want to be reading something that I understand 70%. So there's possibly 30% of the words that I don't know and 70% of the words that I do know. So I'm going to be able to understand the words that I don't know through the context. Okay, I get the gist of it because I understand the words around it and I can figure it out myself. So this is an effective way of first starting to get an exposure to a new word in context. This is also something you can do by watching videos, by watching TV, level to you as well. What I do then is I will make a note of the word. This could also happen if I was in a conversation as well. Somebody says something and I don't know it. I might just try and remember it, or I might ask them to explain the word to me. And later I will make a note. After that, I use Quizlet.
Quizlet. Okay. Yeah.
So Quizlet, you can add those vocabulary kind of like flashcards. So you can practice the vocabulary as a flashcard. You can put the word on one side and the definition on the other side. And then you've got it on your phone. So, okay, I want to practice word. I can practice the flashcards. It shows you the definition. I need to remember the word. You can write the definition in the language you're learning, or you can write the definition in your language. But also on Quizlet, there are many games as well that are used for vocab, like vocab memorizing games. So it makes it a bit more fun. But that's quite a good thing to do. I had a lot of fun learning on Quizlet, and I still think it's one of the best resources for learning vocabulary. It's been around for a while, but it's a good one.
Yeah, many people say about Quizlet. I've used Anki in the past. I don't know if you've heard of this one, but it's just without the games, not so many games, but it's like a spaced repetition flashcard system where things come up, you know, over time. So they're useful. Games, I think that's another method to help people retain for sure, you know. Especially those words that don't come up often, you want a reason for it to be there, don't you? Because you can't be in those situations every time. So
a big thanks to Sam for joining today. You can find him on Instagram at Puppy English and go and check out all the great content he has there. Thanks very much for listening to this one. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Ciao.